Jimmy Style Revelation U.S. for in-depth interviews with world-class experts and authors, provocative commentaries, humorous and informative special features interspersed with some great music.
Today our topic is the limiting power of limiting beliefs. You'll hear an expert of a provocative interview Alan did with Ralph Metzner, pioneer in consciousness, expanding substances, assistant to Leary and Alpert at Harvard, and much more.
We also have music interludes with Kenny Loggins, Celebrate Be Home, Bob Dylan, Blown in the Wind, and Rod Stewart, Forever Young. Our special features today include Sabina Capinelli with one of her enlivened aging strategies. George and I will bring you another You've Gotta Be Kidding news segment, and George will close out with another of his poignant commentaries.
So welcome to Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people come to celebrate living consciously and aging wisely in the 21st century. The real tragedy in life is not that it ends so soon, but that we wait so long to begin. William Mather Lewis, teacher, politician, former president of George Washington University, who lived in the late 19th and early 20th century, said that, from our perspective, he hit the nail on the head. Most of us do wait too long. In fact, as an anonymous wit once suggested, life is not a rehearsal. And yet that seems to be what many of us believe. At least that's what seems to be the case based on the amount of time many of us spend waiting for tomorrow to happen, or for some deus ex machina, some machine of the gods, to descend and lift us magically out of the ruts of ordinary perception and give us lives of greater meaning and purpose. Yes, the truth is far too many of us do spend a lot of our lives waiting for tomorrow or for some magical something to free us from the bonds of the habitual and the limitations of the ordinary.
All the while, the freedom we seek, the unlimited, the remarkable, and the extraordinary is right here in front of us, or better said, inside of us in this present moment. But to experience it, we have to do something, and waiting for tomorrow is not that something. To break the bonds of the habitual and experience the unique and the remarkable, we have to pause long enough to identify some of the beliefs we hold that are limiting our lives. Beliefs that cause us to see the world through a confining mental filter and is causing so many of us a plethora of dissatisfactions, confusion, and restrictions.
And we especially have to identify a particular category of beliefs, limiting beliefs, and begin observing how they not only impact but literally shape our reality. Consider this. 1,200 words a minute, 50,000 separate thoughts a day. That's the estimated speed at which we think and the average number of discrete thoughts we have each day. Clearly, that adds up to a whole lot of thinking, a whole lot of images, and a whole lot of beliefs that impact our lives, especially when they're negative beliefs. In the language of computers, there's a phrase that was current not very long ago, garbage in and garbage out. The meaning, of course, is that the quality of the output we can expect from our computers depends primarily on the quality of the data we input. Since computers are in some important ways modeled after the functioning of the human brain, it follows that the same rule about garbage also applies to our brain.
So, depending on the information, accurate or inaccurate, that we store in our minds in the form of thoughts, images, and beliefs, positive or negative, our experience of the world and of our lives will be significantly affected. To continue the comparison between brains and computers, there are software programs that have been designed to keep the hard drives of our computers free of viruses and functioning optimally. And if we are smart, we can at least occasionally do the same things with our brains. We can review the contents, delete unnecessary files, unneeded memories and thoughts, and check for viruses, which could be likened to limited and negative beliefs. In short, if we are wise and really want to live more unencumbered and empowered lives, we get to keep the basic operating system of our minds running efficiently and successfully.
But when it comes to beliefs, just as it is with the kinds of software we use on our computers, some of our beliefs are empowering and others are limiting. Some speed up our lives and allow life to move more effortlessly and effectively, and others slow us down and encumber us. So limiting beliefs, especially those that have been passed on to us by others, who in turn unconsciously have accepted them from others, are kind of like pirated software, unevaluated, unauthentic opinions that over time and through the sheer force of repetition and habit have become widely mistaken for reality.
Two obvious examples that stand out in history are the scientific certainty that the Earth was flat and the Sun revolved around the Earth. Michael Murphy, one of the two founders of the world-renowned Echelon Institute in Big Sur, wrote, "The future of the body, explorations into the further evolution of human nature," based on his enormous collection of verified reports of people who exceeded what is generally believed to be humanly possible in a dozen areas of life. By doing so, help gather the evidence that makes it clear that we are living our lives based on mutually agreed upon limitations, while believing that these limitations are true.
Why are we spending this time talking about limiting beliefs? Because if we really want to get out of the ruts of the habitual and break the bonds that bind us, then we have to be willing to change some of our beliefs, and in doing so, we will change our entire life experience. And that is what Alan talked to Ralph Metzner about, and what all of us who experiment with different forms of breathwork, yoga, food, fasting, reflection, meditation, prayer, and consciousness-altering substances do. For in the end, as Henry Ford said, whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right. And Napoleon Hill, the author of Think and Grow Rich, said it another way. Whatever the mind can conceive of and believe in, it can achieve. But no matter how you say it, in the end, what you believe largely impacts the quality and content of your life.
Come back to the revolution. Age Nation Radio.
Age Nation Radio.
We are Age Nation. We will soon be 150 million people strong. We're 40 and older and represent the fastest growing population segment. We weren't born yesterday and we're not dying tomorrow. We work, create, and contribute. We buy the majority of new cars, invest, travel, control 80% of this nation's wealth and at least that much of our faculties. AgeNation.com is our website. It's a doorway to valuable information, inspiration, radio, live and online education and entertainment, digital magazine, books, products, discounts, and more, all from some of the leading wisdom keepers of our time. AgeNation.com, for the generations who change the world and have the wisdom, experience, and the need to do it again. AgeNation.com, it's free. Sign up today. Over 40 and looking for answers to the challenges and remarkable opportunities ahead. Are you under 40 and want to know more about the world you'll soon inherit? Then Do Not Go Quietly is the perfect book for you. Inspiring, empowering, full of practical guidance, this best-selling book has already won 3 2013 book awards. It is a powerful call to action and to a life of genuine purpose for those who weren't born yesterday. Wise woman Jean Houston says it's profound, compassionate, and deeply useful. So live the life you were born to live, and remember, you're never too old or too young to live your dreams. Available on Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For free downloads, interviews, and a lot more, visit DoNotGoQuietlyTheBook.com.
Come back to the revolution. Age Nation Radio.
Of consciousness series,
worlds within, worlds beyond, the six pathways of destiny, the life cycle of the human soul, moving space and time stream, alchemical divination, the roots of war and domination, the expansion of consciousness. And we've agreed to maybe talk about some of these in the future. Also, I might mention Andromeda is a new couple of, well, birth of a psychedelic culture by Synergetic Press. And most recently, Mystic Chemist, The Life of Albert Hoffman, and its discovery of LSD. That's all in the mix because of Synergetic Press and Tango, or Deborah Parrish-Snyder, the publisher, bringing you into the studio. So I welcome you. I thank you for this journey. And
thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, looking forward to our conversation today. You know, I mentioned when you came in the door, there's probably a lot of people we know together. And maybe they'll show up in our conversation. One of those, Ram Dass, this book co-authored by Ram Dass and yourself, Ralph Metzner, along with Gary Bravo, really an interview. And then most recently, this Mystic Chemist, which we'll talk about to some degree. And with it all, I was pondering the context of what this conversation would embrace. And as Tango suggested, well, this is about you, too. This is your life and your experiences. Some of that written about here. And I know some people have spent time with you in Ocotay, New Mexico. They said to say hi, a couple of them. And
I contributed to, you know, the biography of Hoffman and Bill Hoffman. I'm Mr. Costa Hoffman. He's a good friend and he's a great teacher of mine.
Did you spend a lot of time with him?
Yes, in the later years, especially. I first met him in the 60s, and then because I travel in Europe every year, and did courses and workshops in Switzerland, and so I was still a long way to go every year.
Okay, well,
10 years.
Any time there's something relevant to that, I mean, you know, like you said, it's my show. I said, but I want it to be your conversation, so listen.
Right. That's right. So in the book, Mystic Chemist, which is based, it's a tremendous compilation of texts from, you know, so many of the associates and friends and colleagues of Hoffman, and including myself, but many others as well. And they probably directed material for the full 10 books.
Well, it's like a textbook.
That's a compilation, yeah.
Well, the biggest problem I have with this graph is it's too heavy. It's like I can't read it in bed comfortably.
That's not a problem.
That's not a problem. Well, you know, anyway, this container of context for a conversation I thought would be about collective seeking, about self-discovery, higher consciousness, and this was fueled along the way by the psychedelic revolution. That spawned in the 60s. It was still nurtured in the 70s as it kind of grew, amplified by the hippie movement. And then it got tempered in the 80s when the yuppies came into prominence, the materialism of that time. And it made them a little underground. Maybe it was suppressed.
I don't think it was tempered at all. I think it went underground. And the reason it went underground was very simple, because all the drugs became illegal. So people don't like to go to jail.
Yeah.
You know, for their personal habits, for without committing any crimes. They talk about crimes without victims.
Yes.
Well, the use of psychedelics didn't dissipate. In effect, it just expanded. And put it on underground.
Yeah.
So people kept quiet about it. So there's a whole underground culture. And in that, you know, in the book that I co-wrote, that's what we're talking about. It was an underground counterculture. I don't like the term counterculture, but it was not opposed to the mainstream culture. It's like a boundless.
Yeah.
You know, because the people who use psychedelics want to stay alive, they want to not go to jail.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of them did go to jail anyway, and that continues to this day.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people, it's
called, you know, eating marijuana, which is a simple healing plant with healing virtues. Many times, and helps many people. It's never killed anyone. Marijuana has never killed anyone just by taking the drug.
Yeah.
Whereas the drugs that are available through medicine have killed lots of people.
Well, as you know, I come out of the pharmaceutical industry, so I know a little bit about
it.
ask this later on, but I want to ask it now since we're right into this discussion. What do you think was the reason that the war on drugs, what came into play under the Nixon administration, but even before that, this experience of expanded consciousness was seemingly intentionally squashed and made illegal? What do you say about that?
Yeah, I think the war on drugs has nothing to do with drugs.
Right. So what do you think of this?
Anyone that the war on terror has to do with terror. When you think about it, war on terror is sort of insane. It's violence against violence. I mean, what is violence?
Yeah, well, how can you have war on a concept?
Anyway, in the John Federal Judicial Committee said that you can't have laws that ban drugs. You have laws to control behavior. You make behavior illegal. You don't make a substance illegal. The war on drugs is not about drugs. It's about something else.
Yeah,
it's very easy to guess what it's about.
Well, I'm willing to speak about it openly here because I know people like to make fun of conspiracy theories. But I think it's...
Because I think it's about money. If you want corporate control of money and markets, that's what... And the money to be made from drugs that are approved, and the money to be made from drug enforcement of laws that are prohibit use of drugs. I mean, it's to the point now where, the prison industrial complex is a privatized business that requires that the prisons be filled to 95% capacity as part of the contract for the governments make with the prison system.
Yeah.
And so they have to have prisons to go into jail. To fill the jails.
So this backs all of the money.
This is where we are.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, but I think, of course drug abuse exists. And alcohol is it's the most abused drug in society. And it's a legal drug. But alcohol abuse is handled through medical means, whether it's medical and psychological and rehabilitation programs. And of course, there are laws restricting behavior. You can't drink while you're driving, and you can't give drugs to an older age person. So you have a system of laws that society knows well to control the giving of substances to underage, to driving and protecting the safety. And that would be the way to control drug abuse. Of course, there will always be drug abuse, just like there will always be alcohol abuse. And then you set up a medical system, a medical therapeutic system, rehabilitation for people that get addicted. And the issue of drugs should be taken out of the police control system and should be handled by medical and public health officials, just like alcoholism.
Yeah. Do you think there's a little bit of shifting in that context? Because, first of all, we have medical marijuana that is made legal, and we have two states that legalized it. And in fact, I was just looking at an article. This was from my September 13th issue of The Week magazine, which is pretty mainstream. The feds mellow out.
There's a whole issue of states versus feds, where the states may make loose the lights, and then the feds say, well, no, we don't agree with that. And it's a whole uniquely American kind of feature. Other people, other countries don't have that policy. It's what some degrees to have. The laws are a certain way, and the whole country does it. Same with Sweden, same with Germany and France, whatever. And all these countries in Europe actually have much more reasonable and pragmatic laws. They don't try to deny that drug abuse exists and just prohibit all drug use, which is insane. That's like permitting, prohibiting eating or drinking or something. People will always do it.
Stop waiting. Now's the time. Age Nation Radio.
Elizabeth Rose here, co-producer of the thought-provoking and life-enhancing TransitionsTeleseminars.com series, inviting you to listen to prominent guests conversing on love, spirituality, money, sexuality, and the mystical. This series is hosted by your Age Nation Radio Magazine co-host, Alan Huttner, and his good friend, Bill O'Hanlon, psychotherapist, best-selling author, and featured Oprah guest. Guest presenters include Marianne Williamson, Andrew Harvey, Joan Borisenko, Bruce Lipton, Larry Dossey, Harville Hendricks, and many more. A lot of great content available, MP3 audio downloads, PDF transcripts, CEU credits, and free conversations with bonus materials. Go to www.transitionsteleseminars.com for more information. Over 40 and looking for answers to the challenges and remarkable opportunities ahead. Are you under 40 and want to know more about the world you'll soon inherit? Then Do Not Go Quietly is the perfect book for you. Inspiring, empowering, full of practical guidance, this best-selling book has already won 3 2013 book awards. It is a powerful call to action and to a life of genuine purpose for those who weren't born yesterday. Wise woman Jean Houston says it's profound, compassionate, and deeply useful. So live the life you were born to live, and remember, you're never too old or too young to live your dreams. Available on Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For free downloads, interviews, and a lot more, visit DoNotGoQuietlyTheBook.com.
Stop waiting. Now's the time. Age Nation Radio.
Substances that help them expand their consciousness and live lives of greater meaning and purpose is almost incredible to comprehend.
I asked him that question. I mean, why is this, Ralph? And, he didn't go to it right away. But it's pretty obvious what you wake up, you awaken to, or wake up to the agenda that is about some people and multinational corporate interests. People are incarcerated because it's a profit-making business. We have more people in prison and minorities and drug offenses than probably any other country or percentage-wise of any other ratio of why people are put in prison for crimes they commit. So that's a problem.
Yeah, it is. And I think his perspective about controlling behavior, which is what society attempts to do with its laws and regulations, is particularly vital and important. And I think it adjusts the whole conversation. And also we have to realize that there are these people who are clinging tenaciously to old systems and the very idea of being out of control in their perspective rather than being surrendered to what is part of what underlies all of this.
Yeah, well, that's good. Besides the money, it's the control, keeping the power. has happened before. It was made illegal, but I have experienced various mind-altering substances, including LSD, and all the hype and all the problems. It's BS. It's not like that. You know, yes, it'll change your reality. Yes, it should be under supervision, whether it's psychotherapist, psychologist, anybody working on that mind-altering thing for the first time needs to have a guide.
Absolutely, and the important thing is that you can't inhale, breathe, or swallow. Just remember that. welcome to the land of moving outside of the ruts of ordinary perception. It's time now for our You've Got to Be Kidding segment. You know, each week we do look at items in the news that show you how wacky the world is or what can give us hope. Today we have some of both categories. This from Care 2 on the good news side. Medical studies can befuddle even the most conscientious person. Does a daily baby aspirin hurt or help? Can men skip prostate exams or not? One study says one thing, the next the other. Head of the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force, an independent panel of non-federal experts in prevention and evidence-based medicine that conducts scientific evidence, draws conclusions about pros and cons of various preventative and diagnostic medical procedures. It makes recommendations about which are worth it and which aren't. The organization doesn't profit from its work, and it weighs the merits of scientific studies. Check out www.uspreventativetaskforce.org. Good on you.
Good tip. This from Reed Richardson. Let them drink milk. The mainstream media's lack of coverage of the West Virginia chemical spill. Last week, 3 million Americans lost access to clean, safe water for drinking, cooking, and bathing in West Virginia when a 7,500-gallon spill on a hazardous chemical used for coal processing contaminated the Elk River and the region's water supply. Lacking water, the state capital effectively shut down, and the ordeal stretched into a new work week with no day given for when residents could trust their water supply. I believe some are back, but still are out of water. This is big news, but it's been shrugged off by the major newspapers and ignored by the broadcast and cable news TV networks. CNN spent more than 12 hours covering a cruise ship with sanitation problems containing only 3,000 people and devoted a mere half hour to the toxic spill impacting 3 million in West Virginia. Can anyone say Fukushima? You've got to be kidding.
Also, on the not good side, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit struck down Federal Communications Commission open internet dealing and what is broadly interpreted as a fatal blow to net neutrality and the rights of private citizens. According to Bernie Sanders, without safeguards, corporations are able to prioritize the information available to users, stifle ideas and expression, and competition and innovation. And meanwhile, the majority of us stand by like sleepwalkers and let it happen.
And that's why we're here. We're waking you up, folks, if you'll let us. Let's close out with some good news. It's from a Huffington Post article about people who make a positive difference. Eleanor Justice and her partner, Vanessa Wheeler, were working dead-end jobs in Baltimore when they decided to take a major risk in the name of happiness. The two women packed up, left their lives behind, and bought a small blueberry farm in rural Pennsylvania. They became the caretakers of the farm, running on a gift economy system, meaning that vegetables, fruits, and other goods from the farm are exchanged with the community using a give-back-what-you-can system. They had no way of being sure that things would work out, but say that they couldn't love their new lives more. Quote, it's all about being in love with the land, enjoying its beauty, gathering its bounty with gratitude, and then happily sharing with people. Justice called the Huffington Post. It's really an amazing life. I'm so incredibly grateful. George, how'd you like to become a beekeeper with me?
Maybe. But for those of you out there who are listening and would like us to talk about given topics that you find in the news, send them to us at info@agenation.com or info@agenation.com and just mark it. You gotta be kidding.
Over 40 and looking for answers to the challenges and remarkable opportunities ahead. Are you under 40?
and want to know more about the world you'll soon inherit? Then Do Not Go Quietly is the perfect book for you. Inspiring, empowering, full of practical guidance, this best-selling book has already won 3 2013 book awards. It is a powerful call to action and to a life of genuine purpose for those who weren't born yesterday. Wise woman Jean Houston says it's profound, compassionate, and deeply useful. So live the life you were born to live, and remember, you're never too old or too young to live your dreams. Available on Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For free downloads, interviews, and a lot more, visit DoNotGoQuietlyTheBook.com.
Reclaim your passion. Age Nation Radio.
Here's that one back. I'm going to give you a little commentary called Eliminating the Power of Limiting Beliefs. If we're serious about wanting to really enjoy life, then eliminating limiting beliefs is one of the first and most important steps we can ever take. It's a little like taking the bindings off a tightly wrapped plummet that's protected for shipment, and as soon as we do, the leaves unfold and the air circulates, and suddenly there's freedom. And so the first step in this process of dealing with limiting beliefs is to admit that we have them. We can also follow the good advice of three different and gifted individuals we've mentioned two before. Henry Ford said, whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right. Napoleon Hill, whatever the mind can conceive of and believe in, it can achieve. And the French writer Marcel Proust said, "The real journey of discovery is not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes." So if we want to lead more expansive, rewarding lives, we'll want to pay more attention to the good advice and always keep it close at hand. Here are some of the things we can do to break out of the ruts of ordinary perception. Perform mind-expanding exercises. Newspapers and magazines are full of them, books, websites devoted to them. Learn new languages, develop new creative skills, play music, grow a paint. It's said that each of these things expand the pathways in the brain. In fact, it's said that learning languages, spoken or creative, are the most complex tasks we can ever perform. Spend a lot less time listening to the noise of the outside world and a lot more time reflecting and meditating. Some studies suggest that not only do these practices allow us to break out of the habitual patterns, but they also lengthen and contribute to much greater quality of life. Experiment with life a lot more, with different forms of breathing techniques, holotropic breath work, yoga, and other practices. With diet, pay attention to the foods that weigh us down and slow us up, and others that uplift us and enlighten us. With exercise, with the places we go, with the things we do with our time, both at work and home. Experiment, be curious, do these things that contribute to life, rather than keep us, you know, kind of running in place. Limit our exposure to toxic people, toxic information, and negative media messages, and above all, negative beliefs other people hold and spend so much of their time talking about and reacting to. Spend more time paying closer attention to your own thoughts, to the images you allow in, whether those are from movies, TV, video games, the news, or from other people. And also, take some tremendous steps in moving out of the ruts of ordinary perception by eliminating or reducing some of the negative emotions that our negative beliefs trigger. So we can practice a lot more forgiveness of others and ourselves. And above all, we can spend a lot more time in the present than we do living in the past or worrying about the future. Finally, there's gratitude. Meister Eckhart is reputed to have said, if the only prayer one ever says is thank you, it will be sufficient. So thank you often to people you love, to people you meet, to people who challenge you, to things you do, to every breath in this mystery that's physical life. Say thank you for the miracle between breaths. Yes, thank you for all, good, the bad, the indifferent, for what you know and don't know. Just keep moving outside the boundaries of habitual belief and limiting thoughts, and raise your voice courageously to sing the incredible note that only you can sing in the great song of life.
Thanks, George. Great message about gratitude, too. So much to be appreciative of, including the importance of that in your life. And, wow, we get to do this radio thing for people.
Yeah.
They're grateful for you, your year, as we would say. Next week, we're going to turn our attention to an exploration of the remarkable time of choice we as individuals, as a nation, and as a world are currently facing. You'll hear an interview with George and Sabina Dane with Greg Braden on his soon-to-be-released book, The Turning Point. You'll hear more great music, more enlivened aging strategies, or You Gotta Be Kidding pieces, or next week, Rudy will write
another Rudy Rod
radio next week.
So don't forget to visit Age Nation. AgeNation.com, your free subscription to the digital magazine. Pick up a copy of our new book, You're Gonna Go Quietly, A Guide for Living Consciously and Aging Wisely for People Who Weren't Born Yesterday. What is Woman? Jean Houston calls it a profound, compassionate, and deeply useful guide to the genius and capacities of the second half of life. And Hayes just named it one of the must-read books for 2015.
All right, we're later. Thanks, George. Thanks for our excellent background.
For cheering.
Elizabeth Rose here, co-producer of the thought-provoking and life-enhancing TransitionsTeleseminars.com series, inviting you to listen to prominent guests conversing on love, spirituality, money, sexuality, and the mystical. This series is hosted by your Age Nation Radio Magazine co-host, Alan Huttner, and his good friend, Bill O'Hanlon, psychotherapist, best-selling author, and featured Oprah guest. Guest presenters include Marianne Williamson, Andrew Harvey, Joan Borisenko, Bruce Lipton, Larry Dossey, Harville Hendricks, and many more. A lot of great content available, MP3 audio downloads, PDF transcripts, CEU credits, and free conversations with bonus materials. Go to www.transitionsteleseminars.com for more information.
Over 40 and looking for answers to the challenges and remarkable opportunities ahead. Are you under 40 and want to know more about the world you'll soon inherit? Then Do Not Go Quietly is the perfect book for you. Inspiring, empowering, full of practical guidance, this best-selling book has already won 3 2013 book awards. It is a powerful call to action and to a life of genuine purpose for those who weren't born yesterday. Wise woman Jean Houston says it's profound, compassionate, and deeply useful. So live the life you were born to live, and remember, you're never too old or too young to live your dreams. Available on Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For free downloads, interviews, and a lot more, visit DoNotGoQuietlyTheBook.com.
You're listening to Age Nation Radio. It's a state of mind.